Torah up to Ezra, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis. Okay, so now let's just do the Rashi. I didn't do the Rashi. Let's review the Rashi quickly. No, we did the Rashi, so let's go already further. Pasuk Beis. Asher Bo'im Zerubbabel, who were the people that came, that made the first Aliyah, first group of people that came to Eretz Yisrael? So it says here, they came Im Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a descendant of David. He was part of the chain of the Malchus of Beis David. He was Roy Chazal tell us to be Moshiach. And had Klal Yisrael been worthy, he would have been Moshiach. And he was the leader, and he will play a very prominent role later in Ezra and in Nehemiah. So we will come across Zerubbabel in much greater detail later on. There are many opinions. I think the Gemara says that Zerubbabel is the same as Nehemiah ben Chakilai. Nehemiah is the name, that's the sefer. The next sefer is Nehemiah ben Chakilai. And he is one and the same as Zerubbabel. Now, if that is the case, then just skipping ahead two words, the next person mentioned here, Nehemiah must then be a different Nehemiah. Okay, so many of us would say that it's not the same Nehemiah. It's very common to have in time of Chazal, time of Tanakh, many people that have the same name. There was a limited pool of names. So you have a lot of repetition, you have a lot of recycling of the names. So let's learn now with that approach that Nehemiah here is not the same person as Zerubbabel. They are different people. Okay, so we'll learn with that. So over here we have a group of people that are coming with Zerubbabel. Who are they? Who are the people that, again, Zerubbabel is the leader. He is taking the people up to Eretz Yisrael for the very first time. Yeshua. Who is Yeshua? He is known as Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol. Okay, he plays a prominent role, as we'll learn later on, and he also appears in Sefer Zechariah. The Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah, there Zechariah says, go and he was shown, what? Baalosko also, okay. So he was a very, very well-known Kohen Gadol, a very popular Kohen Gadol, which I hopefully will come and we'll learn about a little bit later on. It is very interesting that, if this is correct, that Yeshua was also known as Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. It's just interesting, it's curious that the hay is dropped. It's not exactly clear why, I do not know why, but it was a very popular name to be called Yeshua. And we're learning over here that it was the same as Yehoshua. Now obviously, Al-Havdul Elif, Alfei Havdolos, we know that another person's name was Yeshua, okay? And his name was further, now does that mean that Yeshua, that his original name was Yehoshua, I do not know. As we discussed, it could very well be there was more than one Yeshu. There was two, there were three. It's not exactly clear. A lot of mysteries in history, but does that mean that every Yeshua is Yehoshua? I don't know. Chazal are telling us that this Yeshua is the same as Yehoshua Kohen Gadol with a hey, and here we're calling him Yeshua. So what does that say about him? We do not know. But what? Yeah, but normally we're very precise, especially in Tanakh. You're very precise in how you spell names. You know, when a get. Rachman al-Tzlan, in the Ksuba, you have to be very precise how you spell the name. You have to not spell Kleinemus Kalman. Do you have a, what's the letter? The question, the Yud. So it's interesting over here, why is that person, is he called Yeshu? What happened to the Ayin? So the answer is, so I don't know if this is a joke or this is true, he couldn't even save himself. If he's really the savior, the Messiah for the whole world, why couldn't he at least save Atzmai, save himself? So Chazal have taken his name Yeshua and removed the Ayin to indicate even himself, even the Ayin which represents Atzma, he was unable to save. Okay, everything is of here. Love the little here dealing with the holy person Yeshua Kohen Gadol. Next is Nehemiah. Who is Nehemiah? So we said before this is not the same Nehemiah as Nehemiah ben Chakilai, because if that would be the case, there would be repetition. It says here Im Zerubbabel. It says thank you very much.
It's working.
Okay, it's working. Okay, thank you. Okay, Nehemiah.
What pasuk we got? You
Beis, another pasuk Beis. Now others want to Beis, Perik Beis, pasuk Beis. Others do want to say that Nehemiah is the same person as Zerubbabel. It's just that when we mention Zerubbabel in the beginning of the pasuk, we're mentioning the group. We have here the group. The group is identified by the leader, and the leader of the group was Nehemiah. But we're repeating his name twice because the entire group, the community, was called Zerubbabel, and the group was named after the leader. And the leader's name was, on one hand, Nehemiah, but his also name was Zerubbabel, and that's why these two names they come together. Now, when we actually list the individuals in the group, so we mention Nehemiah. Then we come to another person whose name was Seraiah. Number three, we come to a person Re'eloyah. We now come to number five. We have Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Re'eloyah, and now we come to Mordechai Bilshan. According to almost all the Mepharshim, Mordechai Bilshan is one person. There are two names which go together. Why was he called Mordechai Bilshan? So the Mepharshim explained Bilshan was his Hebrew name. Mordechai was his Persian name. And in the Megillas Esther we have, this is Mordechai HaYehudi from Megillas Esther. So together he was known as Mordechai Bilshan. They called him by his Hebrew name and by his Persian. Like you have to say Baruch Ber. Like you say Hirsch Tzvi, and you say what Tzvi Hirsch, what
Zev,
okay, so the Lord Arielab. This, so where does that come from? It comes from this pasuk, this idea of taking a person which has one name and. Give me another example. What do you say? Tzvi Hirsch. So Tzvi Hirsch, the same thing. So Tzvi is the Hebrew, Hirsch is the Yiddish. Aryaleib, a lion and a lape. Why do you do that? It comes from here. Mordechai Bilshan. Mordechai was the Persian name. Bilshan was the Hebrew name. Now we do the other way around. We do Tzvi Hirsch. Aryaleib. We reverse. We first mention the Hebrew, then we mention the Yiddish. But in this pasuk, we're doing both. We're putting Mordechai Bilshan. Mordechai is the Persian, and Bilshan is the Hebrew. And in the Megillah we have Esther, the same thing. What was Esther's Hebrew name? Hadassah. What was her Persian name? Esther. So if you want to match the two together, I found very interesting Rav Schwab. By the way, now that we're learning Ezra, we can go back to Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab is a very, very beautiful Sefer, a parish on Sefer Ezra from his Shiurim, that was compiled and put together by his son. And there he says, therefore the real names are Bilshan and Hadassah. Instead of saying Mordechai the Esther, Bilshan is a good title for a shir, to talk about the times of Bilshan and Hadassah. Because Bilshan is the Hebrew name of Mordechai. Hadassah is the Hebrew name for Esther. Those are the Hebrew names. So we always refer to them as Mordechai the Esther. Mordechai the Esther are their Persian names. We always refer to the miracle of Purim in its Persian form. But the Hebrew equivalent of Mordechai the Esther is Bilshan the Hadassah. Now why was he called in Hebrew Bilshan? So some of the commentators explain because he comes from the word Bolal Loshan, or a mixture of languages. Mordechai was a baki in all 70 languages, and that served him very well when he was able to overhear a Parsi. He was able to overhear the two big son of Seresh when they were plotting against Achashverosh, the poison Achashverosh. Mordechai was able to hear Vayivukash Adav Vayimotze. He was able to hear the plot that they were trying to kill, to assassinate Achashverosh, and he told this to Esther, and Esther in turn told this to Achashverosh. And then when Achashverosh could not sleep, he called to have brought the Sefer HaZichronos, and it was remembered that Mordechai, he saved his life, and from that the entire story of Purim began to flow. So all that became because Mordechai did know all of the 70 languages, and that's why here he's called Bilshan. Bilshan again means Bola Loshan. The languages were all mixed up, having a connotation. He was a baki in every single language. Furthermore, he needed to know all the languages to be married to sit on the Sanhedrin. To be part of the Anshei Knesset Hagadolah, one of the prerequisites was that you were a baki in all of the 70 languages. Okay, now, yeah?
Isn't there another opinion that Bilshan was his father's name, and
could be, I don't know.
His name was, I think it was Pesachio or something.
Oh, there's another, he's also called Pesach. That's also put down in the Midrashim. It's the third name. He was able to open up Pesachio, to open up mysteries, to be Poseach things that are sasim. That's another name. I'm not exactly sure how that comes into the picture. He could be the Bilshan was his father's name, but at least over here we have two different people. We have two different names for one person, Mordechai Bilshan. Again, according to most of the Mepharshim, it's one person, it's Mordechai Yehudi, which is combined together, these two names together. All the commentators disagree. They are of the opinion that these are two different people. There's Mordechai, who is, as we know from the Megillah, Mordechai HaYehudi, and there is another person by the name of Bilshan. Okay, so it's either one person or two different people. Another important point is that in Sefer Nehemiah, when the list, again, we discussed this yesterday, when Nehemiah again reviews the list of the pioneers, and he enumerates the leaders, there Mordechai is listed as number 6, not as number 5. Here in this pasuk we have first Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seroyah, Re'eloyah, and then number 5 is Mordechai Bilshan. There in Nehemiah, there is another person that's put before Mordechai Bilshan. So why in Sefer Nehemiah was Mordechai demoted, went down one level to be number 6 and not number 5? And the Medrash is something very powerful, is that we know at the end of the Megillah, Mordechai was only Ratzu L'Roiv Echav. He was unable to occupy himself fully in the study of Torah. He had to take up political leadership to lead Klal Yisrael, even though political leadership was in the category of Hatzolus Nefashos. He actually saved lives. It was not as Choshev as Limud HaTorah. He had no choice. It's not that Mordechai had a choice. He had to be involved in political leadership, but that automatically forced him to take away time from the study of Torah. And if a person is not studying Torah, automatically he cannot be on the same stature that of those that spend the entire day focusing on Limud HaTorah. Here, Mordechai was young. He was not a political leader. He's number 5. Because he was fully immersed in Torah. Later, 36 years later, when Nehemiah is recording the same list, Mordechai already was a political leader. He was not learning Torah every single day at the same intensity. He was demoted from number 5 to number 6. This is brought down in one of the Midrashim. Okay, probably have it over here somewhere, but this is a very important Chazal. Okay, let's go further. Next we come to another person. His name was Mispar Bigvai. Now, what does this mean? Simply, this also, it's one person. Two Pasuk Beis, in the middle of the Pasuk, we have here Mispar Bigvai, that was the name of a person. It sounds very funny to us. Today, you hear every so often people go to court and they demand that they want to change their name from a name to a number. Today in society, everyone is just nothing more. We have been reduced to a number. You have a social security number, you have a license, you have a driver's ID. Everything today is just a number. And in fact, I tell you, there are people who go and they go to court, they don't want to be called by name. Legally, they want to be known by their number. So here we have a precedent for that. The person's name was Mispar. That was his name. His name was Number. Now, I do not know if this means that he was actually called by a number, 1,560, whatever, or his name was Mispar, but that's what his name was, Mispar Bigvai. Bigvai simply is a family name.
Why can't it be two people?
So, some of Farshim learned it was two people. There's a tradition. I'm not exactly sure.
There are no bugs here.
Mispar, yeah.
Why can't that be
one person?
Decided that Mordechai Bilshon is one person. Why can't it be two people?
Because I'm not sure. I don't know where it comes from. I'm just reading from the very basic commentators, and they tell us that Mordechai Bilshan is one person, and Mispar Bigvai, there are two opinions. Some say they're two separate people. There's a person called Mispar, and there's another person called Bigvai. Others learn that it's one person. His name was Mispar Bigvai. I'm not exactly sure. Now, there is a very interesting medrash that says that Mispar Bigvai, the reason why he's called by a number is because the person was not yet born. He was an infant, he was a fetus in his mother's womb. And we have precedent for this with Yocheved. When Chazal, when the Torah enumerates the number of souls that entered in Mitzrayim, it says there were 70 souls. But when you count the number of people that actually entered into Mitzrayim, there were only 69. And the answer given is that Yocheved was in the womb of her mother. The mother was pregnant with Yocheved. She was not yet born. She was born as they entered, they passed between the walls of Mitzrayim. So the Torah is machshev, has such chavivas for the B'nai Levi, for Klal Yisrael, even the people who are not yet born were counted in the Sacha called in the number, in the big number of 70, even though that number 70 was not yet born. And that's the same thing we're referring up here to a person, a very great person, which would yet to be born. But when they came up to Eretz Yisrael, he was only Bigvai. Bigvai means inside. This individual was in his mother's womb, did not yet come out into this world, and only can be counted in the big picture of things as a misbar, as a part of the larger number, which we're going to have at the very end on this sheet. You see at the very end, we have a Sach HaKol of 29,818. So this person did not yet have a name, but was part of that very large number. It was a baby. Okay, but simply it means he was just the name of a person. Then comes the person Rechum. Another person's name was Rechum. Another person was Ba'ana. Two different people. And then the next time it says Mispar Anshe Am Yisrael. Here Mispar is not the name of a person. Mispar means these are the numbers of the distinguished people of Am Yisrael. The word Anoshim. Havu lechem anoshim. Anoshim is a term which refers to distinguished people. This, we are now are going to list the number of the distinguished members of Am Yisrael who are going to ascend to Eretz Yisrael at the time, at this moment in time. So this mispar refers to the number that follows. And the first mispar, which has a komat, not a patach, is the name of a person. So let's see the Rashi. Rashi goes from these details. Ve'elu b'nei ha-medina, pasuk beis, Rashi, bo'u, b'nei ha-medina, halalu, bitchila. Now again, Rashi is following his appeal. The word Medina refers to the people of the Medina of Eretz Yisrael, the people that were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. They stuck together in Bavel. And this Bnei HaMedina Halalu Bitchila Kashagalu Mi Eretz Yisrael LeBavel Imzru Bavel. Now, when this group of people that originally descended are now making their way back 52 years later, who are they? So we have this list: Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seroya, Re'eloya, Mordechai Bilshan, Mispar Bigvai, Rashi, Harishon Pei Kimutza Bigodol. The Kometz Godol. The same called the Kometz Godol and the Kometz Katan. So Rashi is a Kometz Godol and it's a Kimutza. It's a Kometz. So therefore, that's the Mispar to differentiate this from the next Mispar, which is not a name of a person but name of a number. Mispar Shal V'Shem Adam. Who this is? This Mispar, a Kometz Godol, which means it's a name of a person. Mispar Hasheni, the next word Mispar in the same passage, that's not to be confused with this word Mispar, that's not the name of a person, that's a Pei Pisucha, that is a Patach, the Dovaku, it's connected to the word Anshe Am Yisrael. The number of the distinguished members of Am Yisrael, these were included within the numbers of the distinguished people of Am Yisrael that are now coming up to Eretz Yisrael. Let's see here, Anshe, next Rashi, Anshe Am Yisrael, Halalu B'nei Adam Gidolim V'chashuvim Hayu. The word Anshe means distinguished people. V'acherim Hayu Mishuchim Achareihem. What follows, the next series of psukim, all the way until the end of this parak, refers to other people which were not as distinguished. They followed these leaders, achareim, v'alkei mina'um achareim levad, and therefore they're just counted by number. Their names are not specified. So I think we have a total of 8 names, if I'm not mistaken. We have Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seroya, Re'eloya, Mordechai Bilshan is one person, Misbar Bigvai is number 6, Rechum is 7, Ba'ana is 8. Okay, so 8 people, assuming that Mordechai Bilshan is 1 and Mispar Bigvai is 1. Some will learn Mispar Bigvai are 2 different people, that would make it to 9. And if you want to break up Mordechai and Bilshan into 2 different people, that would make it into a total of 10 people. Which would be interesting because Chazal tell us that there are Asara Yuchsin, Olu Nibavel. There were 10 Yuchsin. Now, obviously, you would not say anything better than the Asara Yuchsin. Not everyone there is, it's not such a great compliment for every one of that member. We have Mamzerim and we have Nisim. Rabbinim, and we have Asufi, Ushasuki. Not everything is such a great compliment, but it's interesting that there will be some type of parallel to the significance to the number 10. We will then be listing exactly 10 members, 10 great leaders, if we break up those two names into separate people, exactly 10. And then what's going to follow in the next series of Sukkim, we're actually going to enumerate the Asara Yuchsin, which include, or from rattling off from our memory, this Kehanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Geirim, Mamzerim, Chalolim. Chalol is a union for a kohen that's not allowed to marry a grusha. And then you have the Nesinim, people that were Gerim, which were Gerim not by, they tricked Yoshua into allowing them to become Gerim. They were really Kananim, they had a different status. There were people that did not know who their mother was, and there were people that did not know who their father was. Asufei Ushisuke. Asufei is someone gathered in from the street, does not know who his mother or his father is. He's a full-fledged Jew, because we're dealing in a city where everyone is Jewish, so it's we go follow the majority. We assume he's Jewish, he does not need to go through a gerus, but if you do not know who your mother and father is, you're lacking in a concept called the yichus. If you cannot trace your lineage, that is problematic. And then you have a case where you know who your mother is, but you do not know who your father is. Okay, I think I listed 9, I'm missing one, there's one more that I forgot, but we have over here basically 10 different groups which came up to Eretz Yisrael, and here we have between 8 and 10 different individuals which also arrived. Now let's just see over here in the Mitzudas very quickly. So the Mitzvah says, don't make any mistake about it. This Yeshua is Yeshua Kohen Gadol, which will come in contact later on in this Sefer. Mordechai Bilshan, you see here that the Mitzvah learned to this one person. He is Esther's uncle. Mordechai Hayehudi, v'nikra Bilshan. Why is he called Bilshan? Al Shayada v'shivim Lashon. You know all 70 language. Kein Amru Rabosenu Zichroinim Levracha. Mispar Harishainu Hu Shem Ish. Mispar Anshe Zehu Mispar. The following is the Mispar, the list. What? Not the following. I take it back. I'm sorry. The Zehu Mispar. This is the list that what we've just mentioned. These 8 to 10 names are the Mispar. The number of Shel HaChashuvim, of the distinguished individuals who ascended to Eretz Yisrael. V'chein kol ish v'anoshim shel mikra. Every time we have the word ish v'anoshim in Tanakh, the Mitzudos is giving us a rule. It always has a connotation of someone distinguished, of nobility, chashivas. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Gimel. Now before we go to Pasuk Gimel, let me just make sure I do not forget any medrash, because I told you the Gemara already in Masechta Megillah really was a Gemara. I told you it was a medrash. It's really a Gemara that over here in this pasuk in Ezra, Mordechai is number 5 on the list, but in Sefer Nehemiah, Mordechai is number 6 on the list. This is in a Gemara Masechta Megillah Daf Tes Zayin, because then Ulubasoif Leachash Nespatel Mitalmud Torah Shal Yoisek Bat Solas Am Yisrael Neged Gzeres Haman Nimne Basar. He was counted after 5. He was counted number 6 because it was only Rotsu Leroy Vechov, not Lechol Echov.
So then Mispar, according to the sheet that you said, that it was possibly a child.
Yes.
So then it wouldn't be listed here at all. First of all, according to both,
it's a person. We're not saying who the person. This person, 36 years later, became a very great personality.
Right, but in this listing over here, first of all, they all say Anashim Chashuvim.
He would turn into become one of the Anashim Chashuvim. You're right. It's Allah Osset, Shema Osset. Correct.
Right, but I thought we looked at it the way they are right now, which explains your whole distinction.
Okay,
Nehemiah.
Okay, you have to calibrate that a little bit better. But it's alluding to the fact that he would one day turn in there later on. He actually says what happened. In the Sefer Nehemiah, he states the facts the way they are. Here, it's alluding to the potential. Here, some learn not like this medrash, that Mispar Bigvai, that was his actual name. He was a living person. He was a mature adult, and his name was Mispar Bigvai. It's funny to have a name called Mispar. Why would a person have a name called Mispar? But he did. According to the medrash, which is, I'll read you the medrash. This is the medrash in Yalkut Shemoni. It appears a very popular medrash. A lot of the Mesvarim quote this medrash. V'lomadikos Shmo Mispar Bigvai. Why is he called Mispar Bigvai? So first of all, you see from the Yalkut Shemoni that's one name. He does not count these two as two different individuals. He counts as one person. Om Rabbi Huda Halevi ben Rabbi Shalom Lomud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a custom lifkoid Shevet Levi b'chol mokom k'shehim kitanim. Hashem is accustomed to count members of Shevet Levi when they are minors, when they are fetuses. For example, k'sheyardu Yisrael l'Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim, nimsu kulam samachtes. If you count the names listed in the end of Parshas Vayigash, it enumerates, you only find 69. Shnemar kol nefesh v'hark siv kol nefesh habol Yaakov Mitzrayim shiva. But yet, on the other hand, the pasuk says they're exactly 70. Ketzad, Amar b'levi b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni zo yocheved. Shenimnes b'mei ima, she was counted when she was in the womb of her mother. V'chein, and where else we find this? Here in Sefer Ezra. V'chein ba'oile goyla. Bikshu rabbanon mishmaros v'loi mitzum shleimim v'nimsar. They look to find all of the numbers. When you will make later on the calculation of all the numbers at the end of this chapter, you'll try to make a calculation, and you're going to find that the numbers don't add up. And the answer is you have to use a nimsum misbar bigvai. This person was counted misbar bigvai. Shenimne b'mei imo. There was another person whose name is not listed, and he was alluded to in the fact that he was still in his mother's womb as they entered the walls of, they came up, there were no walls, they came up to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Gimel. What?
Significance to the order of the people
listed here? Yes, on this order? It appears, yes, from the Gemara Masechta Megill, it appears that we're listing them by their chashivas, by their distinction. And that's why Mordechai, the Gemara, yes, they went up, on the time they went up. They went up, yes. And that's why the Gemara says Mordechai, there's a contradiction. Here he's listed as number 5, and Nehemiah, he's listed as number 6. And the Gemara therefore says that at this point in time, Mordechai was fully immersed in learning Torah, he was more distinguished, and himself in Nehemiah, he took a step down because he took upon himself political leadership. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Gimel, B'nei Farosh. Now we begin to list the various films. Like, yeah, we have this handout. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel, B'nei Parosh. You see over here this list. Very, it puts everything in a very good perspective. Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel, B'nei Farosh, the family of Parosh, Alpayim, Mea, Shibim, Ushnoyim, 2,172. Now, by the way, we're going to learn, we'll go through this list. Sometimes it says B'nei, and sometimes it says Anshei. What is the difference between B'nei and Anshei? So, I think it's either a Medrash, or it's brought down by the early commentators. Anshei means they themselves, the people who were exiled, 52 years later are returning. That means they were much, obviously they were young men when they were exiled, and they lived to witness the return of the Gola, and it was the family themselves. When it says B'nai, it refers to their descendants, their children and grandchildren. Either the majority of the group were descendants, but not necessarily the original people who descended. So we have before B'nai Farosh, Alpayim Mea, 2,172. Next, B'nai Shefatia, another family, Shleshmeos, 300, Shemeshnoim, 372. B'nai Orach, 775, Shvameos, Chamisha Vishavim, B'nai Fachas Moav. The children of the governor of Moab, where there are the Levnei Yoshua, so we're going to divide this into two different families. Who are they? From the family of Levnei Yeshua Yoav, it's one name, Yeshua Yoav, Alpayim 2000, Shemoine Meos 800, Ushnaim, Ushneimasar, and 12. 2,812. Now, what is this? Pachas Moav. So we learn in Sefer Shmuel that David HaMelech conquered Moab. And we are very familiar that during the time of the Romans and during the time of the Greeks, Eretz Yisrael was under control of the Romans and the Greeks, and they installed puppet kings. They had very great control over what took place in the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish leadership. Just like we can understand that we were victims of being such under the control of another government, Moab was under the control of Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Bayis Rishon. During the time of the Bayis Rishon, they conquered Moab, and Moab every year had to pay a very large tax, tribute to the people living in Yerushalayim, living in the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael. It was the Malchus of Yisrael. And this is mentioned in some detail in Sefer Yeshaya, where Hashem criticizes Moab that after the Malchus of Yisrael fell, the Malchus of Moab celebrated they no longer have to pay tribute to the king of Yisrael because he was conquered by Melech Ashur, and Yeshai criticized them in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, your day will come when you will be destroyed for your sins. But for a very significant period of time, they were under the control of Klal Yisrael, of David, and there was a family that was appointed to control, to oversee the nation of Moab, and to make sure they stay in line and deliver the tribute, the tax to Klal Yisrael. And this family was called the Pachas Moab, the governor of Moab. And this family was the children of Yeshua Yoav. Who is Yeshua Yoav? So some learned this was David's general, his family. David had a sister, her name was Tsruya, and Tsruya had a son, Yoav. Yoav was David's right-hand man, until they had falling out at the end of David's life. But Yoav was David's right-hand man, he was his general, and he served David for all the years of David's life, and his children and descendants were given the role as serving as the governor of the nation of Moab to oversee that they pay tribute to Klal Yisrael and don't cause any harm to Klal Yisrael. So it was a family known for this, their mission, and they were called the Fachas Moab, and they all were descendants of this family, Yeshua Yoav, and they numbered a very significant number, one of the largest numbers, 2,812. If you look on this chart, you'll notice the only one that had more was the people, B'nai San'ah. They had 3,630. But besides them, this was the highest number from all of those who returned to Eretz Yisrael. Other Farshim learn that Bnei Yoshua refers to Yoshua Kohen Gadol. It's related to that family. Yoshua, the same family, from the same Yoshua, mentioned in the previous one, Mubasik. And some learn the Bnei Fachas Moav refers even to David the Melech himself. And the reason why we call David the Fachas Moav, because David came from Moav. David was a descendant of Rus HaMoaviah. So you see over here, there's so many different opinions in Mepharshim who exactly this family is. Is this Mamish, the family of David, the family of Malchus, because of Rus HaMoaviah? Is this the family of David's sister's son, Yoav, the general who plays such a prominent role in Sefer Shmuel, David's general? Or is this somehow related to the family of a different Shevet? The Shevet of, not the Shevet of David, David is Shevet Yehuda. This is the Shevet then of Levi, the Shevet of the Kohanim of Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol. So we have over here a whole different divergence of opinions of who exactly this family is. Yeah.
Either way, that would explain Yeshua being number two on the list. If we said they are in order of promise,
okay,
that either they come from
Zerubbabel, Shevet, Kohen Gadol,
or from Beis David.
Okay, let's see the Mitzvahs then. Let's see the Mitzvahs Pasuk, Gimel, Pasuk, B'nai Parosh. Okay, first of all, let's see Pasuk Gimel. Let's see just Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk B'nai Parosh, Yesh Me'em Masker Al Shem Av Mishpach, Yesh Me'em Masker Al Shem Iram. Okay, this is also what Rashi says. We have to also be aware that we're going to go through this long list. Some of them are the names of people, and some of the names listed are names of cities. Okay, it gets confusing. Sometimes they even have the same name, and sometimes one name refers to the name of a person, and another context refers to the name of a city. Then Pachas Moav, HaMoyeshel B'Moav. Okay, they ruled over the nation of Moab, the governor of Moab, Levnei Yeshua Yoav, Rotzbaimar, Mimbinei Yeshua, from the family of Yeshua, which we said before was the family of Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, Umin Bnei Yoav, Shahayu, from the family of Yoav, which we assume refers to Yoav ben Tsuruya, Shahayu Bnei Pachas Moav, which was from the family of this family that was called by the name the governor of Moav. Misparam Hayu, their number was 2,812. So what were you saying, Dr.
Ferrer? I thought people were different according to Mitzvahs, it's a different family?
So it's not clear. There are two families, two different names being mentioned. There's someone called here, there's someone called Yeshua and Yoav. Is that one person by two names? Not likely. We don't find in Tanakh people had two names. It appears to be there are two different families, two different branches of this family called the Pachas Moav. At one point in time, there was a mission given over to a certain family to be in charge of the nation of Moav, to oversee them and to make sure they deliver the tribute. That family had two branches, a branch called Yeshua and a branch called Yoav. Were they all part of the same family? Perhaps. That would have to then mean that Yeshua is not the same as Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Because if we want to say that Yoav is the nephew of David HaMelech, David's general, that's from Shevet Yehuda. That's not from Shevet Levi. But if you want to say that no, this role of serving as the governor of Moab was divided between Yoshua Kohen Gadol's children and the children of Yoav, the general of David, then there were two different families that were under this umbrella group called the Pachas Moav, and they, from them together, could be they married among themselves, they from them came up to Eretz Yisrael a very significant number of people, 2,812 people. So let's now go, let's just see if Rashi has come out the same exact thing as the Mesudas, Pasi Rashi, Anshe, Pasi Gimel, B'nei Parosh, Yesh Bohem, Shbeparosh, Shemaskir, Shem Avihem, Al Shem B'nei HaMishpacha, V'yesh Mehem, Shemaskidam, Al Shem Mikoimam, Loimar, B'nei Mikoim Ploini. Sometimes the name refers to a family, and sometimes the name in this long list refers to a name of a city. Now we go to Pasuk Zayin, Bnei Elam, from the family of the Bnei Elam, Elif 1000, Mosayim, Chamishim, the Arba, 1254. Bnei Zatu, from this family, Tishan Meos, 900, the Arba, Chamishon, 45. There is a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Bnei Zatu were the ones that provided wood for the Beis HaMikdash, when they first came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a very great shortage of energy, of fuel. We take it for granted. We just plug something into the outlet, we have electricity. But you need an enormous amount of wood to burn korbanos, to offer korbanos on the Mizbech the entire day. And when they first came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a very great shortage, and this family provided the wood. And as a reward, they were given the permission that throughout all the ages, throughout all the generations, they can bring wood whenever they want. Normally, if a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash and they want to offer what's called a carbon etzim, they want to just offer to burn wood on the Mizbech in honor of Hashem. It's hard for us to understand what this is all about. It's hard enough for us to understand what it means to offer a sacrifice. Take an animal and slaughter the animal and offer it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That itself is hard for us to understand. But it's even harder for us to understand what this means to offer a carbon of etzim. Just to take wood and to burn wood on the Mizbeach for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So normally a person, if you just can't come and do this, or if you want to do it, you just can't bring your own wood. There is wood that's been designated, it's part of, there's a system in place, and you have to follow the protocols of offering carbonates, offering carbonatesim. But this family was given an exception. They can bring wood from their private stock whenever they want as a reward for their ancestors, providing wood at a time when no wood was to be found. Let me read you the exact words of the Medrash. Bnei Zatu, Umar Roy Bnei Zatu Ben Yehuda Lito Lohem Shem Tov Zecha Tov L'Doros. Why were they mentioned over here? Now they're mentioned really later on in different Hayamim. Ela Sheke Sha'alu Bnei HaGoyla V'loi Matzu Eitzim B'Lishka. When they ascended, when they came up to Eretz Yisrael, the time of Ezra, and there was no wood, Omdu Elu, this family made sure there would be wood. V'hisnadvu Eitzim Mishel Atzmam. Umastru Oysam Litzibor. V'hikrivu Mehem Karbonos Atzibor. Uvizuchus Zeh. In reward for this, for them, their Mesiras Nefesh, providing the wood, Koch hisnu imohem hanevim shebineim the nevim Chagai Zechariah umalachi promised them im halishka mle eitzim vafilu im mevim karbon mishal tzibor even if the lishka is filled with wood and there is wood that is ready to be used for korbanos, yihyu elu misnadvim etzim bizman hazeh umivim kol zman sheyirtzu, they can bring their own wood whenever they want. They have special rights. V'lo yihya korban miskarev elo mishalohem tchila. It's not exactly clear the details of how this would work, but they were given rights, special rights that no one in Klal Yisrael, special license that no one in Klal Yisrael had except for them. That's the family of Bnei Zad too. Let's go further. Megillas Tainis, Simin Hey. Okay, let's now go to the next family. The next family is Pasek Tes, Bnei Zakoi. The family of Zakoi, Shvameos, Sveshishim 760, Rav Schwab says that Rav Yochanan ben Zakai must have come from this family. Where do we find this name Zakai? We find it over here. We assume that he, we know from him 400 years later, we assume he came from this family. Bnei Vani, Pasig Yud.
We're still in Daniel Tes?
Yes, we're in Ezra Beis. Ezra Perek Beis, Pasik Yud. Bnei Vani. Next family on our list, we have Bnei Vani, Shesh Mios, Rabbi Mishnaim, we have 642. Bnei Vevoi, Shesh Mios, Eshem Shloisha, 623. Bnei Azgod. The family of Azgod is a large family. Elif, 1,000. Mosaim, Eshem Mishnaim, 1,222. A lot of twos there. Bnei Adonikom. This family, Shesh Mios, Shishim Mishnaim, 666. That's a very significant number. Now, by the way, I've got to tell you this. Yes, I've reviewed the yesterday. We're looking at the Vav, the Aleph base, the Vav. 666, three Vavs. So we once learned about this, the significance of the number 6, Parshas Toldos, the 6th Parsha in the Torah, the 6th Aliyah, begins with a Vav. What's the significance? 666 is the gematria of Me'ah She'orim. The number 666 represents the ultimate bracha. Yitzchak planted that year in the land, and he found Me'ah She'orim, 100 times more than he ever expected. It represents the concept of the ultimate bracha. And what is the gematria of Me'ah She'orim? 666. I told you, we joked about this, that in Eretz Yisrael there's a street, Me'ah She'orim. If you only can find the address, if you would want to live there, it would be very good to have the address. 666 Me'ah She'orim Street. Because 666 is the gematria of Me'ah She'orim, and that number represents Baracha. And the proof to that is, what is the ultimate Baracha in the Torah? The Barachos of Yitzchak of Yitzchak to Yaakov. The Yitem Lechoch Elokim Yital HaShemayim U'Mishmane Haaretz. There are 10 brachos enumerated in the Birchas, Yitem Lechoch Elokim Yital HaShemayim U'Mishmane Haaretz, V'Rov Dagon, the Sirosh, Yavducha Amim, the Yishtach V'Lechoch Bnei Umim, there are exactly 10 brachos in the Birchas Yitzchak to Yaakov. They represent the ultimate brachos. And where is it to be found? It's found in the 6th parsha of the Torah, Parshas Toldos, in the 6th Aliyah. And the brachos begin with the letter Vav V'yitein Lecha. Three Vavs, three sixes, 666. Significance of the letter Vav. You learned over yesterday also about in the Zmiros and Shabbos that Hashem should be crowned with the three Vavs, with all of the Vavs coming together. So here, this family, you cannot deny that there's great significance in this family, that they had 666 members of their family ascended to Eretz Yisrael, represented. No one would have imagined. No one would have imagined that this family, someone from them would come and return to Eretz Yisrael. It was Me'ah She'orim, 100 times more than everyone ever expected from this family. That is some of the significance in the family of Bnei Adonikam, Shesh Me'os, Shishim V'Shisha, Bnei Vigvoi. Now Vigvoi, L'Choira, is the same one as the Mispar Bigvai. Right? I'm assuming we have here Mispar Begvai. There was someone else in that family, Benev, that goes back to that name, that funny name, who's called by a number. In this family we have Alpayim. We have also a very large number, 2,000, Chamishim Veshisha, 2,056. So, L'choy, when the Medrash said it, to make a calculation, I'm not exactly sure what this means, but it says here that there was 2,056. But if you would make an exact accounting, you would not find 2,056. And the Medrash says, you have to count how many of the women were pregnant. And when they ascended to Eretz Yisrael, they were carrying fetuses. And that also goes into the calculation. It's the mispar, the number that was within their wombs as well. B'nei Odin. Now B'nei Odin, his family was Arba Meos, 400 Chamishim V'Arba, 454. Now some learn that this was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. And he was called the Gemara Darshan's Odin, not Rav Odin Steinsaltz, I'm sorry. Besides, I use his Gemaras, but I don't think this refers to him. But Odin, 454, there are various Gemaras that talk about his koyach, his technique in learning. He fully immersed himself in learning, and in war he was... And war, he was very, very strong in war. Okay, but I'm not okay. I don't know the details. I don't have it in front of me. But B'nei Odin refers to, I think, the Rebbe of David HaMelech. Arba Meos from his family was 400, Chamishim Arba, and 54. B'nei Oter L'Chizkiyah. Now Oter is a name, and he was L'Chizkiyah, the family of Chizkiyah. Now which Chizkiyah is this? Is this Chizkiyah HaMelech? So there is a debate. Some say yes. Some say this refers to Chizkiyahu, his descendants. And there was one branch of his family called the Oter branch. And from that branch, we have Tishim Ushmoin, the 98. Other Mefarshim say no, it's a different Chizkiyah. Just because you have a name, and the same name appears in multiple places, does not necessarily mean it's the same person. B'nei Veitzoi, next family, Shlosh Meos Eshim Shloisha, 323. B'nei Yoira, Mea Ushnaim, 100, Ushnei Moser, and 12. B'nei Choshum, Mosai, Eshem Shlosh, 223. B'nei Gibor, Tishim Chamish, 95. B'nei Veis Lochem, from the children of Beis Lechem, that's Beis Lechem Yehuda. Go back to the time of the Shoiftim. Go back to the story of Rus HaMoaviah. So Beis Lechem, you have Meir Eshem Shlosh, 123. Anshe Nitofo. So obviously this is a place. This is not name of a person. This is a city. And here it says Anshe. Anshe in contrast to all of the words above of B'nei. To review what we said before, when it says Anshe, this means that the people themselves that were exiled have now returned. When it says B'nei, it means more the children, the descendants, not necessarily the original people that were exiled. Not all of them were living. Anshe Nitofa Chamisha Meshish 56. Anshe Anasos. Ah, now this is a very important pasuk. The people of Anasos Nea Eshrim Ushmona 128. Now what is the significance? So we have here a psikta Rav Kahana. The psikta Rav Kahana, let me read you the words of the pasuk. Now we know Sefer Yirmiyah. Sefer Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah is giving Musar, very strong rebuke to the people. And the people did not like to hear what Yirmiyah had to say. Ad kedei kach, they tortured him. They threw him into a dungeon. They nearly killed him. They and who did not listen to him? Even the Talmidei Chachamim, the pasuk says, the Toiv Sei HaTorah, even the people that were in charge of Jewish leadership, Talmidei Chachamim, they thought that Yirmiyah was an extremist. There were other prophets that were saying, do not worry, even though Yehoshua was exiled, he's going to come back in a few years, everything's going to be good, he's going to return, and the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash are going to return, and there's nothing to worry about, and don't listen to the words of this extremist Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah was imprisoned, he was tortured, he was thrown into a dungeon. No one listened to him. Hashem said to who were his worst enemies? His own people, the people from his own hometown, the people of Anosos. They were the worst. They tortured him more than anyone else. And Hashem cursed them. And Hashem said that from the people of Bnei Anosos, there will be no survivors. Every single one of them will die, and they'll be wiped out. And the wonder is, what's going on? If Hashem told Yirmiyahu that the people of Anosos, in punishment for what they've done to you, for torturing you, they're going to die, how could it then be that from this family, the Anshei Anosos, Ne'av Eshem Ushmoinu, 128 survived and made their way back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim? And the answer is the Koyach of Tshuva. And from here we learn this is one of the most amazing psukim in the whole Tanakh. Because he talks about Tshuva, okay, as long as Hashem does it, as long as it's not etched in blood. But here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, it's over. They're going to die. They're very harsh words. Let me read you the words. We have your Ketzad. Here the Medrash, this is the Psikta of Rav Kahana. Ketzad Zohu, on this Pasuk, the Psikta asks, how could it possibly be here? In Ezra, in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, does it say, Ketzad Zohu Anshe Anosos L'Sheiris? How could it be a remnant? V'aloi Kvar G'nigzera Aleihem, G'zera Kosha, a very harsh decree. Sheti Koris Mishpach Dom Yal Pnehu Adama. Hadohu D'chsiv, the Pasuk says, Koyam Ar Hashem, Al Anshei Anosos. So says Hashem concerning the people of Anosos. Lochein koyamar Hashem, hinni poiked aleichem, I'm going to punish you. And the Goyim of the Pasuk concludes, Usheiris lo tihiye lochem. Hashem explicitly said there will be no remnant of any member from the people of Anosos, in punishment for the way they treated Yirmiyahu Hanavi. And here, look at this. There are 128 people making their way up. Ela melamed she'asu tshuva. They did tshuva. The kevan she'asu tshuva zochu lehisyaches. Not only did they survive, they made their way back to Eretz Yisrael, and they are recorded in the honor roll, the ultimate honor roll of Sefer Ezra, with this distinguished group of 29,818 people that are listed for posterity for the honor that they came back to Eretz Yisrael. The Koyach of Teshuvah. Unbelievable. Okay, one more pasuk. This is a very strange pasuk. B'nei Az Moves. Arboim Ushnoim. Can you imagine there's a city called Az Moves? Death is powerful. Who would today call a city Az Moves? Pasuk of Dalet. Pasuk of Dalet is a very strange name of a city, and the Mepharshim are very perplexed.
What?
Pasuk Chav Dalet. Okay, let's just do one more pasuk. B'nei Kiryas Arim, because it's a very popular city. What happened in Kiryas Arim? In Sefer Shmuel, this is where the Oron was hosted during the time of the Pelishtim. When the Pelishtim, they took away the Oron, and then they returned the Oron with a box, with a gift. Where was the Oron? Where did the Oron reside until the time when David was ready to bring it, to build the Beis HaMikdash, and to bring it to a more secure location in the city of Kiryas Yeorim?
Yeorim.
So here it says Kiryas Orim, but it's the same. Even though it's Kiryas Yeorim, it's the same. Okay, so it's an interesting point that sometimes it's spelled a little differently. B'nei Kiryas Orim, Kifira Uve'eros. This includes among them, the families of Kefira Uve'eros, who are listing of your families that resided in the city of Kiryas Yeorim. Kiryas Yeorim is the name of the city, and we have in there two families called Kefira Uve'eros. The combination of this family was Shvaneos V'Arboim Ushloisha, 743. Okay, so we'll stop here. B'Shem Hashem Chavav. Chavav is where we'll resume Yitzhashem tomorrow.